Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to Wrestle Culture. I know that I can't take no more. It ain't no lie. Roman wants to see you out that door. Brian, bye, 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 bye. Wanna be another wrestling match for two. You may hate him, but it ain't no lie. Brian, bye, bye, bye.
Inspired.
By Andy Murray and Bill Chambers from What Culture Discuss, all the goings on in wrestling this week. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW, Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week, complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Phil and Andy in a little ode to NSYNC. The band that wishes they were five, but just weren't quite good enough to start us off there. But it's been a hell of a week, gents. Phil, I haven't had a chance. I've spoken to Andy a bit about this on the news, of course. I haven't had a chance to get your thoughts on Blood and Guts this week. What did you reckon to it all?
It was bloody good fun, wasn't it? Really? Yeah. really enjoyed it. I'm kind of glad that they kept high spots, I guess, to a minimum. Although there was still some ace moments in there, obviously. But told a more sort of emotional based story with it, which I guess like those matches, it's a bit too easy to just go high spot, high spot, high spot. So at least it kind of made it feel a little bit different to like the War Games things that NXT were doing. And yeah, it was just really good fun. I very much enjoyed it. They definitely lived up to the blood side of this Blood and Guts one again. but yeah, just generally good fun all around. Really liked it.
Andy, me and Sidge were recording a podcast that's going out on Sunday with all the fallout from Blood and Guts earlier. And we gave particular notice to, obviously, Sammy Guevara was great starting off that match. But I thought Sean Spears deserved a lot of credit. I thought he was a sensation in that match as well, especially taking that bloody coast-to-coast chair to the face.
Yeah. Sean Spears gets so much stick and has received so much stick that throughout his AEW run that sometimes when he enters a strong performance like this, it does go unnoticed. So coming out of this match, understandably, a lot of people were like, hey, Sammy Guevara, hey, Santana and Ortiz, hey, MJF, which is understandable because they were all great. But yeah, Sean Spears really flew under the radar. I thought he was really good in the promo the week before as well, when he was laying into Sammy and everything. That's always the thing about Sean Spears. He's one of these guys who, similar to Randy Orton in WWE, who, you know, you might not always be the most outwardly exciting guy, but literally everyone who talks about him, who's worked with him, goes, oh, he's the best guy to wrestle ever. He's like so smooth and so careful and so skilled and everything else. So, you know, when he cut this promo in the introduction talking about how this was the biggest moment of his career, it was really cool to see him follow up with just a really strong performance. I like him in the pinnacle. And the thing with Sean Spears in AEW as well is obviously Wardlow is the muscle guy. Look at him. He's an absolute beast in that stable. But Sean Spears looks massive in this company as well. I liked him a lot in the match. There was a lot of stuff that flew under the radar. I definitely think they did a good job of making it feel different, not better or worse, I'm not saying that, than the NXT matches. In that it was more hateful and uglier and not as gif-able, perhaps. You know, apart from the thing that happened after the match, which I'm sure we'll talk about. And, you know, was the internet was full of measured takes on that matter, as it always is. But yeah, no, it was really nice to see Sean Spears having, like, you know, entering a really strong performance. I like Sean Spears.
You sort of knew what you were going to get, Phil, didn't you? When in the first 5 minutes, Dax Harwood was just pissing blood.
Yeah, they've like released a photo of him afterwards, and it just, you can actually see the drips pouring out of his head, like in the photo. It's absolutely gross. But yeah, there was a lot of that going around in that match.
Said MJF with a bloody fork in their head.
I know. I hate forks in wrestling. It's just unnecessarily violent.
Yeah. Some Abdullah the Butcher vibes. Gross.
Like, it looks so crap as well. As a spot, it looks awful.
Yeah.
I don't understand it at all.
No kitchen utensils in the ring, because I saw that brief. Was it the Dark Side of the Ring? Was it? It was something with Moxley talking about Nick Gage just getting a pizza cutter and going, "I just run over your head with that," and then like cut your tongue out or something.
That's next week's episode of Dark Side of the Ring. Yeah. So if you want to know about like carving off chunks of flesh and eating them, not that Nick Gage has ever done that. that's the episode for you, brother.
Quickly, I know it wasn't blood and guts, but Andy, I know you wanted to give a particular nod to referencing Brian Pillman to his son on the week of the
My God, that was so brutal. The thing about that line was when Max Caster did his rap and said, I don't remember the exact phrasing, but yeah, it was something like, "Varsity Blondes, we're gonna put you on Dark Side of the Ring in 10 years, like 2 nights before the second part of his dad's tragic story airs on TV. Brian Pillman Jr. just standing there.
He's like, "You're a Luchasaurus, a fossil. That's just a dinosaur, Jeff."
Yeah, exactly. Like, and then you get to that one, you're like, "Oh no!" Like, you could hear the whole building as well, like going, "Oh, you can't say that, Chief." But like, Brian Pillman Jr. like retweeted it and stuff, so he's obviously fine with it and everything. But it's a real shame that, you know, the conversation on other things that happened on this show made everyone ignore how savage that line was. Max Caster and the Acclaimed have been really good since he stopped caring and just started going broke. Do you remember that line he had the other week about Lady Gaga's dog walker? It's just like, he's absolutely brutal. And it's really, really good, because, you know, you don't want to come across like an edgelord and go, "Oh, USJWs and stuff like that," obviously. But he's right on the edge of like what is acceptable and what isn't. And listen, if Brian Pillman Jr. doesn't mind that line, it's the line of the year for me so far. This is class.
Young Cucks was so easy, but it was easy low-hanging fruit that we all wanted to have anyway. Phil, we'd love to know your thoughts on this finish then, because it's been divisive to say the least. I mean, they got what was it, number one rating for the first time ever on cable for AEW with that show. But then they had all the backlash of, well, I suppose actually you're more qualified to talk about this than arguably most people, because it almost came down to less the spot and more the way it was shot. What did you think of it all and how it was done?
He's 50. What do you want from the guy? Come on. Do you just want him to die for your amusement at the end of the episode? It's not the first time that this has been done in wrestling, and it won't be the last time that this has been done in wrestling. We've seen it loads of times going back years and years and years, like Rikishi in the Hell in a Cell fall springs to mind. Bloody Triple H at WrestleMania 17, like largely considered one of the greatest pay-per-views of all time, with one of the most obvious cushioned spots of all time. It's stupid. I guess if they filmed it lower and sort of next to the stage and he just crashed down and you saw the things rise up, you wouldn't have been able to see it as much. But then, I don't know, you want to get as much, you're setting up this massive fall to end your show. You want to get as much coverage out of it as possible. You want to get as many, like, that's your gif-able moment. That's the thing everyone's sharing around. Obviously, it may not have worked out in that way, in the right way of sharing it around at the end. But it's like, come on, the guy's 50. You want a big moment to end the thing, absolutely fine. I see absolutely no problem with having a bit of padding there to save the poor guy. Even that falling from that high, even with padding, is going to be scary as hell.
That was what I was going to say, Andy, because we were talking about in the news just earlier when we were shooting it, that people are like, "Oh, how are they going to salvage it, akin to sort of, you know, Kenny Omega 69 me done off the back of Revolution?" I think all you do is you say, right, less about what he landed on, more the fact that he fell from a fucking cell.
Yeah, yeah. People have lost their minds over this topic. Like, and listen, I wrote about it in my article. I said, like, they should have shot this differently. They shouldn't have shown him on some cardboard boxes. Because, look, if you've been watching wrestling for 5 minutes, you know that they're landing on padding. So it's not like it's some grand revelation to everyone. All you do is you just shoot it from here. And, like, you know, you don't need to see the cardboard folding and all that. It's fine. It's like there's a way to approach this topic in a measured way, and Twitter has not done that, which is uncharacteristic for Twitter. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, some people were talking about it like it was this disaster, like the pay-per-view ending the other month, which was terrible, awful. No one's going to care. By the time Monday rolls around with that stacked card next week, no one's going to give a damn. Everyone's kind of guilty of jumping into these debates. I made the mistake of doing it yesterday on Twitter. I got all kinds of crazy people coming my way when I said, guys, let's just be normal. Like, let's just be normal. Wrestling. But yeah.
Normal? I'll show you normal.
Yeah. It's like, here's the most deranged take imaginable, Andy Murray. But yeah, man, it's like, I'm very thankful that a 50-year-old man chose to jump 30 feet to whatever it was for my entertainment. All I'll remember at the end of this, right, is MJF covered in blood, standing at the top because he's tried to kill this man.
With that wry smile on his face. Like, that's the gift that should be being spent. That, like, turn around to the camera with the smile on his face. Like, that's, yeah.
That's the one. Exactly. And it's like, we will all forget about the mattress and the pillow and whatever else. It's like, you know what everyone needs to do, man, on a Thursday morning in particular, because people get so fired up about AEW for some reason more than any other promotion. Just drink a cup of shut the F up, relax, I don't know, listen to some music, go for a walk, like, speak to your loved ones. Gee whiz, social media is something else, man.
I just like the idea that AEW is often described as the wrestling buffet, a little bit of something for everyone. It's like, oh, you don't want, like, to see people taking protected bumps onto, you know, little stages with air cushions or something. No, that's not ready for me. How about Darby Allin getting thrown down some stairs? Because that wasn't gimmicked at all, quite girly. And the bit where they threw him at Sid said he yelped out loud in his house at like 3 o'clock in the morning when they threw him against like the barrier that is the edge of the stadium that, like, after that, that's just down off Daly's place. It's like, yeah. That's
just not a coffin drop to the, yeah, off the scaffold thing. Like, that's, he's falling down to concrete there. That could have gone very, very wrong.
Yeah.
But it's been a wild week. It's been a weird week because it's been a short week here in the UK. What was the bank holiday Monday? Despite the fact that me and Hamlet nailed a Raw preview podcast we recorded on a Friday as a result of all that. But anyway, Andy, you know, you're our head of news. You break all the stories. Your reaction to finding out that story about Daniel Bryan's contract legitimately being over?
Yeah, it's very difficult to process these Daniel Bryan stories, right? Like, because every year, pretty much since he's come back, he's done this thing where he goes, "Ooh, I want to go and wrestle Nakamura. He's in the same company. I want to go and wrestle Okada. I want to go to Mexico. I want to do all these things." And then the story comes out that he's re-signed for 4 years or whatever. It's what Daniel Bryan does. He takes the piss a little bit. He's like, "Ooh, I don't know if it's a negotiating tactic. Maybe he's like, hey, I can drive the price up and stuff." Like, doing a little bit of Brian Pillman, you know, playing the parties against each other. But when I found out that it had actually expired, I was like, okay, what? Because the date that was always reported was September. And Daniel Bryan did an interview before the match where he said, "I don't know why people are saying September," which not a lot of people picked up on until after the fact. So it was kind of shocking. But also doesn't really make me think that he's leaving WWE, if that makes any sense, because he's been here before. He's been in the media the other week going, "Hey, I want WWE wrestlers to wrestle people from other companies." And it's like, okay, Brian, if you'd said that 5 years ago, I might buy into it. So it's such a weird one to take. Usually when, like, a guy who's as revered as Brian is, say if AJ Styles had departed WWE, you'd be like, oh, wow, he might go here, he might go there, and maybe Daniel Bryan will. But with him, I'm still more inclined to believe he's going to stick around as, like, a producer or creative or whatever. It's obviously a very exciting prospect. Like, I've done it myself, sat there in my head and gone, oh man, it'd be really cool if he went to New Japan and wrestled Shingo, or if he came to AEW and he wrestled Kenny Omega and all this stuff. But I think we've got to be very careful not to get carried away. Keep the Daniel Bryan story at arm's length, because I would not be surprised if 2 days from now, a little Fightful Select report pops up saying Daniel Bryan's staying at WWE. So
yeah, me and Sid did a podcast when the story broke earlier this week, and even the most optimistic of AEW fans in Michael Sidgwick was like, yeah, maybe you'll go to CMLL, maybe you'll sign with AEW and be able to work there and in New Japan, but he's probably just going to stay in WWE as much as he wants him to not do that. Phil, you sense as well, I often connect dots that aren't there, and my checkered history with things being a work taken into you sense that if it had been the be-all and end-all, WWE wouldn't have said, you're banished from SmackDown. They'd have said, your career's on the line sort of thing, don't you?
Yeah, they very much protected themselves with the way they worded all of that, in the way that you've got all these other options, and which is why, like, WWE is still a huge part of the conversation of, like, all of the fantasy booking of where could Daniel Bryan end up. Like, everyone always puts NXT in there somewhere because of all the new people that he could end up working with. So they're very carefully covered the backs with this one, but it's just Daniel Bryan. He's just weird. He's like, he's not a company guy in the way you'd think, like an Orton or a Cena, who are like staunchly WWE forever kind of company guys. And yet he's been there for so long now that he kind of is a company guy, but he does it in his own way, in that he doesn't really care about what he says outside of all of these things. He'll speak his mind. Like, he's just Daniel Bryan. He just loves wrestling and will speak about wrestling, no matter whether it's WWE wrestling or New Japan wrestling or whatever. And it's so weird to see that from a WWE guy, that it kind of automatically makes you think, oh, well, maybe he is doing all of these other things. But yeah, I don't see it. I think he's WWE probably for life now. I'd be very surprised if I saw him go elsewhere. And it's like, even in his, like, this last sort of year in WWE, you can see his influence over what he's been doing in his career within WWE, like the working with the likes of, like, Drew Gulak and, like, the younger crop of people, and wanting to put people over rather than just be put in a main event scene for the sake of being in a main event scene. He wanted to do something very different. He did bloody those little working out backstage videos with Alpha Academy and things. It's like, it's just stuff that makes him laugh, that he wants to do. And it seems like there's still a lot within the WWE system that he can do like that, that will still keep him very interested, very invested in wrestling, give him new opportunities to do things he hasn't done before, and yet still get the massive paycheck and the security that WWE has for him and his family. So yeah, I don't see him going elsewhere. I could see him cropping up on NXT, because that would just be the kind of weird thing that he'd want to do, to work with new people. I don't want to see him on Raw, because I don't think even Daniel Bryan could get past the Raw stink. But there's still lots of options there.
Yeah, I really quite enjoyed the match on SmackDown last week, as much as I knew what the outcome was going to be before it even
started. He still makes you believe, though, doesn't he? Yeah. Like, you get halfway through the match and you're like, oh, maybe. Bastard, he's just too good at this.
We'll come back to Daniel Bryan a little bit, because that's what this week's hashtag bloody good quiz is all about. But I sense this is one of the things that maybe over the weekend he was thinking, I'm off to AEW, I'm off to New Japan, I'm off to CMLL. And then Phil Chambers, the news broke on Monday that Eva Marie's back, so he's not going anywhere. I mean, I know you don't have to watch Raw as religiously, let's say, as myself, Andy Murray, and the Dudley Boys, but oh, she's back. She's not all red everything, but she is back. And what do you reckon to it?
Hey, she's got a Ferrari this time. She's going up in the world. Love this. Personally, huge fan of Eva Marie in general. I think Raw is the perfect place for her. Like, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't want to see her on SmackDown particularly. But the moment she comes out in her entrance on a Ferrari or something, just riding on top of a Ferrari for no apparent reason whatsoever, I'm down with that. The moment she comes out and the car reverses because it's like run out of gas or something, so she can't wrestle today, bring back that gimmick. I'm all for it. The massive trolling of Eva Marie and just the pure heat that she generates is just gold. I absolutely love how much people hate her. It's fantastic. Yeah. And I cannot wait to see what they do.
You reckon she's going to be wrestling primarily? Or, I don't know, you sort of mentioned at the time, she alluded in that promo potentially to be more sort of management. I know she's been, obviously, I've seen pictures of her hanging out with, is it Parker Boudreaux, this next Brock Lesnar, basically. Maybe she could manage him. Maybe she can manage CM Punk, and she said, can I have your attention now? So that's what he said. So maybe she's managing CM Punk, but maybe not. But what do you think she's going to be doing, and how much pish is she going to boil?
Yeah, I mean, my opinion on Eva Marie is exactly the same as Phil. It's hilarious. She annoys people to the point of like steam coming out of their ears. It's like, oh no, I don't want her to beat my little work rate favourites. That's great. I love that. It's perfect. Yeah, she did kind of allude to being a manager in that segment where she was like, I want to help other people reach their dreams or whatever the terminology was. And I was like, I don't know about this. I love the idea of using Eva Marie to generate anxiety because she's not very good at wrestling. I love using her to make people think, oh no, she's going to beat Bayley. She's going to beat Sasha. This is going to be terrible. They're burying my favorite people for this person who can't work. She can't even do a suplex. What's the name of this? That's what the real entertainment of Eva Marie is for me. And like, I don't know. I'd like to be proved wrong. I'd like to be proved wrong in every negative opinion I have because I'm an open-minded guy. So I would prefer if she was a wrestler, to be perfectly honest. But, you know, maybe they could do the troll thing with someone else as like as a managerial client. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. The promo didn't really like offer many glimpses of characters or teases of who she might be aligned with and stuff. She just has a car and pink hair. So, although to be fair, having a car and having pink hair, that's two character traits. That's more than most of the roster. it's interesting. Maybe she could be part of the lore of the Fiend. Who knows? We will find out in due course, but I'm delighted to see her back as well. And I hope she's wrestling because it's too funny. It's too funny.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen. Hamlet was talking to me a while back, this was, about that NXT episode. Was it Sasha she faced or Bayley when they were champion?
Bayley.
And that whole fear of the entire episode of like, this can't happen, right, guys? It's like...
That kind of hatred that she manages to create just doesn't come around that often, like in wrestling. That is just pure, oh my God, I hate this person, you must lose kind of heat. And that's the kind of bad guy wrestler that you want in like to get that sort of a reaction. And the way they pitted her up against Bayley is like she was gonna take this ultimate baby face. It was just perfect dichotomy. Love it. But yeah, you've got to make the most of that kind of heat because it does not come around very often.
Also, you know, often we are accused of being very negative, and Phil obviously has picked his side in the red versus blue war. But I will say, you've not checked out the Raw review, please go and do that because we've made Alexa Bliss good and interesting all through a simple app I've got on my phone. You know, she did that song this week to a little doll. He's only gone and recreated it. Here you go. I'll only play a little bit of this, although, because it's going to haunt your weekend. Ready? That's me singing with the effect. I'm going to pay full price.
It's better than the original.
Interesting quick fact about that. I popped round to Andy's earlier on this week because me and the missus were shopping for a cushion that he might like.
true story.
I was waiting outside, Andy, and one of your neighbours came out to put the rubbish in the bin, right? And she was in there just, you know, plonking. I'm just like trying to not look like I'm casing the joint to rob the place. And I saw someone had tweeted us going, oh, love this bit this week, lads. And just, you know, like, videoed their phone, you know, screen recorded their phone. I press play and that just came out of my phone. I was like, oh bollocks, this isn't meant to be consumed outside.
I did wonder why my neighbors were giving me funny looks for the rest of the week. There you go.
Let's talk about another divisive wrestler, Andy Murray, who returned on main event. Jinder Mahal, what's going on?
Jinder has been unhindered, my friend. That's what's going on. This is so weird, right? It's so weird that they chose to bring him back with his new allies. What on earth have they renamed Rinku Singh? Is it Veer? That's Veer, right.
Yes.
Veer. I just wrote the news post on this like an hour ago. I should know this. And Dilshir Shanky. It's so weird that they put those guys together on main event, beating up Jeff Hardy, who hasn't been seen in a month and a half himself. What are we doing here? What's going? Who watches main event? Literally, I've never met a single wrestling fan who watches main event earnestly. Even like WWE hardcores. If you consume every minute of WWE content, do you include main event in that? Really? Yeah. If you tell me yes, you are lying. So it's odd. I can only imagine that maybe they're doing it as a trial run instead, because they don't have house shows to test things out and they know nobody watches main event. So there you go. but I would expect them to show up on Raw, I guess. Dilshir Shanky who's now just going by Shanky. Unfortunately, they haven't renamed the other guy George. Shanky and George. Really? It's a no-brainer. He's 7'1", so as soon as Vince catches a glimpse of that guy, he's gonna be like, "Oh, pal, get him alongside Omos on Raw." Massive men. So you know, I think they'll get a shot. It's a weird one. Rinku Singh was obviously an Indus share, and they were taken off television reportedly because they weren't that good. I thought they looked okay in their brief spots, but
they gave away Keith Lee winning the world title, if I'm not mistaken, on their Instagram.
That as well. That wasn't a very smart move. They took a photo. Silly sausages. But who knows? The thing about acts like this is you never know. They might not sound like the most. It's not exactly a dream stable. But Jinder has always been at his best when he's kind of had like a couple of meat shields. Now he's got a 7-foot meat shield and another massive meat shield. So it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. Jinder is a guy who, like, when he was world champion, obviously my analyst head was like, this isn't good because, well, the matches suck. He's been quite racist in promos with Shinsuke Nakamura. It's not drawing ratings and it's not really popping the Indian market, which it was supposed to do, which was the aim of it and everything else. So, you know, got to criticize this because it's objectively bad.
Yeah.
But time has kind of made me fond of how crap it was. Like things like the great Kali showing up at that Punjabi prison match to just steal his thunder. Just, I'm going to hold the belt, mate, not you. you know, like, the match is being so mechanical. Like, him botching a roll-up when Baron Corbin tried to cash in the Money in the Bank. It's just kind of funny. Also, he's really muscular. And, you know, we need more body guys on WWE TV. So, I am perversely amused by the idea of Jinder coming back with these two almost complete unknown fellas with him. And, yeah, I mean, bring on the piss bonfire. Let's go. Yeah.
Bill, like you said with Eva Marie, it's an incredibly effective heat magnet.
Yeah, definitely. So long as he's not put in the main event scene again, I guess. but like, they brought him back for that superstar spectacle show that they did in India, didn't they? And then they put him and Drew in like a 6-man tag match. And it's like the kind of match that we've almost been expecting to happen at some point because of the 3MB history, the Drew versus Jinder thing. They kind of just threw on a random show in the Superstar Spectacle and then he disappeared again for months and months and months. So it's like, I guess maybe they're just, like Andy says, trialing it out and seeing what happens. But it's very, very strange thing to do, to just chuck him back on main event on Hulu. Is that where you watch main event these days?
It's not even a thing over here, so. I don't
know. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Uh, Before we move on to this week's hashtag Bloody Good Quiz, one final thing I want to talk about. We spoke about it briefly on the news as well, Andy, this. Are full crowds coming back? Because that certainly seems to be the case for Double or Nothing at the end of this month.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. There's no way in heck that Vince McMahon is going to let another promotion run, technically open a full house on his watch without him following suit. Wrestling companies have been careful and well, to varying degrees. if you watch some of the indie shows that went down over WrestleMania weekend, you would probably disagree with that statement and you'd be correct. Shout outs to Game Changer Wrestling. but yeah, I mean, it's going to open the floodgates for everyone else. And obviously, you have to point out the safety concerns. 100%. We don't know what the mask situation is going to be. There obviously can't be social distancing if they want to try and have 5,000 people in Daly's Place. I don't think they'll sell that many tickets, honestly, because WrestleMania, 25,000 for sale each night. They ended up selling, like, as a shoot, something like 20-odd. I mean, they sold more than that, but people didn't turn up because secondary market and all that stuff. So the demand might not be there. It's a risky game. The health concerns are very, very real. But, you know, I'm not advocating for fans coming back because I don't know if it's safe to do so or whatever. And if it's not safe, we will take that as it comes at the time. But that UFC show the other week was great. And it's kind of like you've got this side of your brain going, oh, it's going to be so cool having noise. I can't wait for that. But then the other side of your brain is like, people might get sick from this. Yeah. So I do think it's inevitable. Watch WWE over the weekend announce, hey, fans are at Raw on the 1st of June or something like that. It's gonna happen.
It's tough, isn't it, Phil? Because I'm exactly the same as Andy in terms of like, oh my God, I watched that UFC show. It was obviously a great UFC show anyway. But fans just made it take it up that extra level and obviously Mania. And, you know, when you see things like Sting's debut with even the limited amount of fans that they have, you know, even just 5,000 fans in attendance for an AEW pay-per-view would just be night and day to what we're used to. But like Andy says, there's that voice in the back of your head and just a caveat as with everything. I mean, Phil, you and I went for beers a week or two ago. And you're still unsure and doing social distancing and stuff like that. You just want to be careful because you don't want to fumble the ball on the 1 yard line, do you? We're so close to it all being back to normal.
Yeah, definitely. It's that kind of thing that you could very easily rush and it very easily go hideously wrong. But it's like, I don't think you need to go from 0 to 100 with these things either. Yeah. Like the UFC did, they kind of went from nothing to everybody, as many people as we can fit in the arena as possible. There's a way of doing this with like much diminished capacities, like a third capacity or anything like that. And you can run for months with a third capacity. And just that increment would be a huge, huge difference to the like TV product and the sort of viewer experience. Because those sort of, let's say if it's like 5,000 in a 15,000 seat arena, those 5,000 people are going to be bloody loud because they've not been able to do this in a very long time. So they're still going to be very, very excited about this. But it's, at the same time, like over here, you can't even sing at a funeral because sort of singing makes your stuff project further and is more likely to infect people. And what are wrestling fans like in a stadium if they can't shout and scream and also get drunk while they're doing it? It's one of these things that's just a thing on top of another thing on top of another thing. And it feels very much like a sort of domino effect that could fall down at any point. And if you rush into this too fast, it definitely will. So it's, yeah, so long as they take baby steps with it and just grow it slowly and don't just rush back to full capacity, I think we'll be okay. But yeah, it's one of those things where we're just gonna have to wait and see. Did any news come out about the UFC show like afterwards about anything?
You talked about this yesterday, weren't you?
Yeah, I went looking for stories and Googled all the usual terms like UFC super spreader, UFC COVID and stuff, and nothing had come out. And this is kind of like the time period where you would expect these things to have emerged. So, I mean, there you go. That's another kind of thing that gives wrestling promoters carte blanche to just do it. I think the Cannes co-promoted a concert at Daly's Place recently as well with 5,000 people there. Here we go. This is it. We're going back to it. And we do have to go back to normal at some point, right? It's just like you said, we are so close to beating this thing. It still feels a little premature to me.
My brain, I think, has been sort of rewired over the past year, because I see things, whether it like when I see stuff in like TV shows or movies and it's just huge swathes of people together, I get a little bit nervous. But even now at events that I know it's okay at, like you see the odd football game and they've got fans in attendance. A mate of mine's booked tickets to the FA Cup final because his team's playing in it. And then, yeah, like you say, you see these things at WrestleMania and I'm like, is this okay? Basically, what I'm trying to say is, I was randomly looking back recently with Michael Hanflow over some of our favourite things at What Culture, and I can't think of a more ill-timed thing than our Try Not to Laugh challenge, which still hasn't been later, with every member of the What Culture office spitting water into each other's faces.
This is the worst thing we've ever done.
The great video that will never see the light of day.
One day we will put it out. Like,
I think it's going to be a long time until we can get to the point of us spitting water in each other's faces through laughing and it look okay. I think there's still a way off now.
I feel like we didn't even film that in 2020, did we? We filmed that in 2019, definitely.
Yeah, it was, just took a while to go out and then...
That's right. It was one of my last days before going home for Christmas, spitting water at my mates. Gross.
One day, that'll see the light of day. It'll probably be 2022, but it will see the light of day. That little, you know, it's bad enough when we had to the date stamp the wrestling catchphrase of like, no, legally we were allowed to stand this close together at the time when we filmed this.
Yeah. But,
my God, we are getting closer and closer. I allude to it on the podcast with Hamlet and Sige every time we do one. Getting closer and closer to being able to do these in person, and Andy Murray being able to do news and pestering you side by side once more would be a dream come true. But like we say, most importantly, everyone needs to take away from this, just stay safe for the time being. Even if you think, oh, it's a load of bollocks, it's not. But even if you think that, stay safe, wear a mask, observe all the rules, because in like I might have in 4th of July celebrations over here because it's gone that well, to be honest. We don't celebrate it, but I might just for the sake of it, because that's how close we are to it all coming through. But let us know your thoughts on everything we've discussed today on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. And enough of all that, it's now time for a Bloody Good Quiz. And this week's quiz is brought to you by someone who definitely didn't just type in a bunch of numbers so they could leave this negative review on our iTunes. Why 1984317. It's like when you get those tweets, Andy, that's like, hey, Andy Murray, you suck. And it's like, Steve, 432298. And you're like, oh, use this account much, do you, Steve? John writes, I've been listening for years, but the anti-WWE talk is nauseating. The only thing worse than watching Raw is listening to a review the next day. You guys used to be great to listen to. Sadly, that's changed. That's not our fault, John. It's Raw that's bad. Phil, tell
us. He admits in that review that the only thing worse than watching Raw is having to listen to a review. So he knows it's bad.
Does he want you to give a positive review of a show he doesn't like?
I desperately heap praise on anything that's good. I'm like, wow, okay, bro's the best thing ever, isn't it, guys? We're trying. I tried to heap praise on it this week, Phil, because I was like, hey, look at that. They promised a main event before the show started and they delivered it. That's a W in my book.
It's a really low bar now.
Also, John, did you not hear earlier? That's all the good stuff you're missing out on the Raw review. Come on, mate.
Hey, they debuted a brand new guy, Mansoor, on Raw this week. A huge debut. A massive, huge result for him when he lost his undefeated streak DQ.
Perfect sonification. That's a nice undefeated streak you got there. It'd be a shame someone immediately ruined it by losing by a DQ.
They started it with Sheamus not knowing who he was, thinking he was just one of Adam Pearce's lackeys, and they ended it in losing a 50 streak, undefeated streak in a DQ.
And
love it.
What's his name? Adnan Virk had to sell Mansoor getting back into the ring to break a 10 count. It was like this incredible thing you'd never seen before. It was like bloody Pat McAfee seeing a 619 for the first time. Whoa! Anyway, this week's quiz is all about Daniel Bryan and his time in WWE. a little bit of a tweet. I'll be honest, I was feeling in a bit of a silly mood when I wrote this. So it's not all going to be, who did he pin to win the world title or whatever? It's none of that bollocks. It starts off good, and then I just sort of lost my way a little bit. So stick with me for this. Anyway, usual thing though, multiple choice, 10 questions. Shout out your name, wait for me to come to you. Most importantly, it's just for fun. I've decided to slow it down, Phil, because of that incident of the week.
Yeah, we don't want to repeat that.
No slips of the tongue today, at least so far. Right, so, gentlemen, question number one. Which of these names wasn't one suggested by Daniel Bryan upon joining WWE? I want the one he didn't suggest. So he suggested three of these and didn't suggest one. Bryan Danielson, Daniel Knight, Lloyd Boner, or Buddy Peacock?
Andy. Daniel, Bryan Danielson.
No, he did suggest Daniel, Bryan Danielson.
Phil? I'm going to go with Daniel Knight, and he only put the other ones in so they'd only pick the one he wanted.
It is correct. It
is. You start as you mean to go on, Daniel. Fantastic.
From the beginning, has he? What do you want to be called? Lloyd Boner? That sounds good.
Lloyd Boner or his real name?
Right, question number two.
Neither of them.
Daniel Bryan faced John Cena in WWE in February 2003. But what show was it on? Was it on Sunday Night Heat, Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, or Velocity?
Andy, that's got before they were signed Velocity Energy all over it.
Is the correct answer.
Thinking Velocity makes sense, but why would you put John Cena on Velocity?
What year was this again?
2003, February 2003.
Oh, okay.
That's weird, though. Was he still prototype or what? Who knows?
Don't know. I've seen an image of it. I've not watched the match, I'll be perfectly honest. And it's very like, you wear blue trunks, and that's about it, really. That's what you've got. He's certainly not wearing a jersey anytime soon. Okay, question three, one each. Who did Daniel Bryan get his first televised singles victory over in WWE? Was it Michael Tarver, Heath Slater, The Miz, or Ted DiBiase Jr.?
Phil, I'm going to go with Heath Slater.
It's not Heath Slater. I think he must have faced him in NXT.
Surely, yeah.
I'll go Michael Tarver.
It's not Michael Tarver. It was The Miz, in fact. I think basically he beat The Miz as like a big payoff to the whole mentor thing. Then immediately choked Justin Roberts with the tie and got fired. So that was about it. That was it. And then he came back a while later.
Wait, did he only win one match in that NXT run then?
I think he won certainly only one single.
I mean, that's a very WWE thing to do to him. To put him on a losing
That was
streak.
On Raw. That was on Raw as like a big payoff of someone who's Ashton Kutcher, I think it was the guest.
God, yeah.
He booked that match. Yeah, he didn't win anything in NXT as far as I glanced at Cage Match. And as far as I can tell, he didn't win anything. He maybe won a multi-man thing for his team, possibly, but no singles victory. Yeah, he got jobbed out to just everyone, basically.
Amazing.
Okay, question four. You can see just where I've got distracted on it being Friday and thinking, I'll just put some banter questions in. Right about here. When Brie Bella and Daniel Bryan first got intimate, here's a quiz about Daniel Bryan in WWE going off the rails. When Brie Bella and Daniel Bryan first got intimate, who walked in on them?
I might have completely shot my word here. Was it Sheamus?
It wasn't Sheamus.
I thought it was Sheamus.
My quiz that I wrote a few years ago that I stole this question from, it wasn't Sheamus. I don't know. As always, it's the question, it's the answer I've got written down. The options are Andy Murray, Vince McMahon, can you imagine? Cody Rhodes, Ted DiBiase Jr. or CM Punk?
I think I know the answer.
I don't know the answer. I want to see John Laurinaitis for the banner, even though he's not on this. Ted DiBiase Jr.
Phil, was that what you were going to say?
No.
It is Ted DiBiase.
Is it? Fair enough.
Well, at least according to my notes. I don't bloody know anymore. Question five, 2-1 to Andy. Which of these Slammy Awards hasn't Daniel Bryan won? Shocker of the Year, Facial Hair of the Year, couple of the year or critter moment of the year?
Very prestigious set of awards there.
Phil.
Go on, Phil.
It's between two. I'm going to go with couple of the year.
He did win that with Brie Bell, unfortunately.
What were the weird ones again? Critter moment and...
Facial hair of the year and shocker of the year is the other one.
Well, this is a bunch of... Oh, God. Shocker of the year.
It's not shocker.
Ah, that was the other one I was going to think of.
Maron.
Shocker of the year for his involvement in the Nexus angle. He won Facial Hair of the Year in 2012, and won an award that transformed into Beard of the Year in 2013. Right? Presumably, he had to fit someone's mustache in 2012 or something. Couple of the Year, he won with Brie Bella, and Critter Moment of the Year. That went to Alberto Del Rio, apparently. I'm just looking at the Slammy page on Wikipedia. That apparently went to Alberto Del Rio after a mouse ran past him on Raw.
Did he get nominated for his thing with the bear backstage? Was that then?
He must have done.
That's wild, man.
Okay, right, okay. Question, I've tried to salvage this quiz bag as we get to the second half of it a little bit. It'll go off the rails again very quickly, though. 2-1 at the halfway point to Andy. Who did Brian last knock off the ladder before he grabbed the Money in the Bank briefcase? Was it Cody Rhodes, Sheamus, Kane, or Wade Barrett?
No idea whatsoever.
They were all in that match, so you won't look stupid by naming any of them, by the way.
Phil.
Hey, there you go.
Oh, I'm going to go with Cody.
It's not Cody.
Is it Wade Barrett?
That
was my other one.
Wade Barrett. There's like a ladder. Rewatch the clip. There's like a ladder bridge and he kicks Wade Barrett in the head and then...
Yeah, as if he was knocking Kane's large human arse off that... Pardon the French. Part off the ladder.
Question 7. How many times has Daniel Bryan been world champion? Now, that includes the World Heavyweight Championship and the WWE Championship. Is it 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, or 6 times?
Phil, why not? Keep on going on this massive losing streak that I'm on. 4 times.
It's not 4 times.
Is it 5 times?
It is 5 times. Won the WWE Championship 4 times and the World Heavyweight Championship once. Obviously, the World Heavyweight Championship was the cash-in one on the Big Show, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
WWE was just all of those, like, he won it at SummerSlam, immediately got cashed in on. And then he won it again, but they did the referee's done a VAS count, so you got to vacate it. Then he won it again at WrestleMania, and then obviously Planet's champion stuff.
How about the vacant one?
Okay, question 8. 3 to go. Phil, you can still do this.
Okay.
How long did Daniel Bryan last in the greatest Royal Rumble? Was it 70 minutes, 72 minutes, 74 minutes, or...
Phil. 72 minutes.
It's not 70.
God damn it.
74 or 76, Andy?
76.
It is 76.
My favourite Royal Rumble, so of course I knew that.
Yes.
Oh, brother.
6 minutes. And he didn't even win, did he?
No.
He
just got his chest turned
caved
to
in.
Hamburger meat by Roddy Strong.
he had a lovely time wrestling Roderick Strong.
Like, look where we are, Roddy. Look, isn't this nice? Get to see each other again.
Want to play chops again?
Yeah. Question 9. This might be my favourite question. I was trying to find out how many calories it had and couldn't see it anywhere, so I've just written this question instead. Question 9. Daniel Bryan had an epic feud with Chase Fields' Royal Rumble Burger. How much did it cost? And do you know what? To help you out, I'm going to tell you what is in the Royal Rumble burger to help you out before I tell you how much it cost. 18-ounce pork bratwurst patty, cheddar cheese, bacon, coleslaw, onions, barbecue aioli, and also fried mac and cheese wedges serving as the garnish. Okay, so
America.
Was that being sold for $13, $16, $19, or $22?
Andy.
Bell.
I bought like the most mediocre chicken fingers in the world from MetLife Stadium for about $16, right? So there's no way that this bad lad isn't $22. And if you're going to tell me that it isn't, you are lying and have made it up.
Doesn't cost $22.
$19.
It's the Taste of Chase stand that is apparently selling this. And I'm getting this report from ArizonaSports.com. You say what? 19.
19. Yeah.
You're both wrong. It is a bargain. It's $13, lads. Let's go and get one.
Bloody hell. That's about the same much as a beer.
Yeah, that's as much as a lukewarm pint of Coors Light piss.
Also, like the end of this article where it talks about it. The burger costs $13 at the Taste of Chase stand this Sunday. WWE invades the valley for four different events over 4 days.
Come on.
That's a nice company, isn't it? That was when SmackDown was on a Tuesday and everything was right in the world. Right. Final question. I like this one as well. The mayor of Yakima, Washington, apologies if I've butchered that pronunciation. The mayor of Yakima, Washington declared which day as Daniel Bryan Day? Was it January 13th, March 20th, April 6th, or May 22nd?
What a question. Phil, why not? April 6th.
It's not April 6th, although that is when he won the world title at WrestleMania 30. That's why I put that one in.
Nice.
The first one.
January 13th. Oh, I break the habit of a lifetime. Andy Murray, yet again, that is correct. January 13th. I don't really know why. I think it was when he was in his midst as champion with AJ Lee by his side that this was announced. March 20th is when he announced he was returning to wrestling again. I thought about that nice one in there. And I think May 22nd is actually Daniel Bryan's birthday. But Andy Murray, you win this week's quiz all about Daniel Bryan. Congratulations. Phil, you are banished from wrestling. No, you're not. We need you every week.
We lost Pat.
But yes, thanks once again to John NY 1984317. Sponsoring this week's quiz, if you want your name,
I'll be tracking him down. Do you reckon he was born in 1984 on the 31st of July?
Ooh, or
and he's John and he's from New York, so we can probably track this guy down if you want to have fisticuff words.
So it could I might kill him.
He could be born on the 17th of March because the weird date way they do it. You've got it wrong, lads. Sorry, I had to break this to you. I know we've got a lot of American wrestling listeners, but yeah, get your date sorted, eh? But yes. If you want to know your name associated with a hashtag Bloody Good Quiz, just subscribe to What Culture Wrestling and leave us a 5-star review on there. But this has been Wrestle Culture. Congratulations to Andy Murray. My thanks to Andy and Phil for joining us. You can let us know your thoughts on everything we've discussed and how you got on the quiz at What Culture WWE. Watch there. Follow all three of us. You can follow Phil Chambers at
Phil My Chambers. And you can follow Andy Murray at
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for haven't thought of one. So tough.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE, and make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. Got the SmackDown review with Phil and Gareth tomorrow, as well as that. Me and Hamlet on Saturday are going to be talking about wrestling cliches that have to go. Basically just a way of us saying everything that needs to change in WWE. And then on Sunday, me and Michael Sidgwick will be sitting down to talk about all the fallout from Blood and Guts and where AEW go from here. But this has been Wrestle Culture. Once again, my thanks to Andy Murray, to Phil Chambers, to you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Wrestling.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.